desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I have written on the board spiritual rats, and I told Renee this morning what the title of the message was, and she said it made her skin crawl. Rats are not a real pleasant thing, but if you will allow me the liberty this morning, Jesus, when he taught in parables. He taught in stories and illustrations to make a spiritual point. So I'd like to take a little bit of time and illustrate with temporal things some spiritual points. Rats are, as most of you know, they're long-tailed rodents. And they're larger than mice. That one of the phrases that I looked up to just get a little background on rats said the common species are opportunistic survivors. And that stood out to me. Rats are something, they're opportunistic survivors. They will survive in very difficult, harsh circumstances, looking for every opportunity to get and do what they want to do. They are a cause, whether you know it or not, rats are a cause of substantial food loss in third world countries. Now, it is in this country a little bit, but not near like it is in third world countries. Because in third world countries, in a lot of the places I have been, you harvest your maize or your corn, and you have a corn crib. And you put all that corn in there, and rats can eat up a lot of that corn when you're storing it for months on end. And so they're a cause of substantial food loss. They are carriers of disease, especially the fleas that were on them, or they say was the cause of the Black Plague. It was the fleas, but rats were carriers of those fleas. So rats are something that I personally don't have a lot of fond feelings about. I don't see a rat and think, oh, you cute little furry little thing. Now I know some people feel that way about rats. From my perspective, I don't see him that way. I was, one night when I was in Malawi, I woke up and I have a mosquito tent that I sleep in. And it's a place of security to me. You want to talk about security? When I get in that mosquito tent, I'm hoping, and it has been violated more than once, but I am hoping that when I get in that mosquito tent, that nothing can get in after me. So when I get in there, I don't have to worry about the cockroaches, and I don't have to worry about the spiders, and I don't have to worry about the fleas and all of these things, which have gotten in with me before. But I that's my protection. And I opened up my eyes in the middle of the night, and right in front of my face, the mosquito tent running down, there was a rat. And it was on my mosquito tent, and I hit it. It disturbed me. It disturbed my peace. It disturbed what I was wanting to get some rest. And all of a sudden, there was a rat on the outside. And all I could think about is, if I go back to sleep and that rat comes back and it gnaws a hole in my mosquito tent and gets in there with me, there's not going to be any place for either one of us to go. I didn't want to be in that position. And so I didn't get much sleep the rest of the night. I laid there and I'd hear a rat. And you know what I'd do? I had my flashlight. I'd shine my flashlight up on it, make it scurry away. Needless to say, the solution for me that night was a lack of sleep, but the light helped drive the rat away. There was one time in Malawi in another location that Devin was with me that time, and we woke up and there was a big rat. Now, I don't know if I've ever seen a small rat, so I'm just giving a little balance here. But it seemed like it was a big rat in the room. And I thought, I've never had problems with rats in this location before. And it disturbed me. And again, you're just, every little time you hear something, it's like, is the rat coming back? I don't like rats in my room. Do you get the point? And I'm not done making it yet. But I don't like rats in my room. And so then I asked him the next day, I said, there was a rat in there. And I said, I haven't seen rats in there before. Because it's a place I stayed many times. I've had bats in the room, but no rats.
And so I asked them, I said, what's going on? They kind of got a little smile on their face. Come to find out, they put out poison every year before I come to try to get rid of the rats. I'm grateful for their thoughtfulness. But they missed this rat. And they told me, and this was through a translator, they called him Clever Rat. Because he wouldn't eat the poison. And I thought I would get a gun and shoot Clever Rat if I could. But he had bypassed the poison and they couldn't get rid of him. And hence, I encountered the rat again. I will say that the solution that night was I didn't have any traps to put out. And if I did, I would have put them out. But through prayer, that rat didn't come back. I was thankful for that as well. There was a time in another country. It was in Tanzania. Woke up in the night and there was a group with us at that time. And there were rats scurrying all through that little house. This wasn't just Clever Rat. This was a band of rats. And needless to say, all through the night, we'd hear that. All through. And it just, I don't know about you, it disturbed my sleep. I didn't enjoy it. And again, you know, I keep the flashlight handy. One of those things better not get back on my tent. Well, needless to say, there was another problem. Everybody that was on the group had not zipped up their suitcases. A lesson to be learned if you travel in third world countries, keep your suitcase zipped at all times. You will bring home cockroaches. I did not want mice in my suitcase. And any time I open it up, I'm sure to zip it back up. You don't leave it open for just a few minutes. Keep it zipped. Hence, they had brought some food with them. It had been violated. The chocolate, Brother Doug, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Doug had taken some chocolate with him. The rats got it. And I wouldn't be interested in eating what a dirty, filthy rat had been gnawing on. And rats carry disease not only in their presence, but when they have been places through some of the filth that they are in, they leave some of that filth behind that you can't always see. And they can carry disease that way as well. It ruined the food. The solution? Zip the bag. Zip it up. Keep it zipped. Last week, or a week and a half ago, in Kenya, one night, and I was in a mud hut, and the heavens opened up. And it was a major storm. Thunder, lightning, and it's on a tin roof. You know, or aluminum roof, rather. And when that rain comes down hard, it's loud, not a lot of place to sleep, but I had to get out of my protective shell in my mosquito tent to go and move my stuff because of all the leaks in the roof and water starts coming down. A stream was flowing through my hut of water. It was coming in from the door. And I looked down and lo and behold, a frog had joined me. I say a big frog. It was a big frog and it was just sitting there by the door. And I thought, I don't want my hut. I don't want a frog in here. And the reason it got in was because under the door there was a gap. And understand, when there's a gap, something's going to come in. Now, give me some time here. We're going to get to the spiritual rats here in a little bit. But this frog was there, toad or whatever. I think it was a frog. Anyway, I got that out and I thought, okay, mission accomplished. Got the frog out in spite of the water, the stream through my hut. That's okay. And I moved my stuff so I wouldn't get wet too much. And then I got back in. I was walking over to my mosquito net and all of a sudden there's a wall about just like this. It doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling and the rats came running around that wall. And I thought, Lord, why? They had been driven in by the storm. They'd been outside and the storm came. And when the storm came, the rats came in. Well, it wasn't a real pleasant night. Rats usually don't attack people. But there have been stories of rats, especially when people are elderly and can't move. People that are unable to protect themselves, babies in cribs. There have been many stories of rats coming in and gnawing and chewing. So what's the application here? Spiritual rats. Have you started? If you follow down this road, spiritual rats are things that will begin to disturb your peace. I don't like laying in bed hearing gnawing. And I was thankful at least there was a thin protection of that mosquito tent between me and the rat, because I didn't want the thing climbing over me in the middle of the night. I needed a place of protection. But there are things in life that will disturb our peace. And there are in our world what I would say a lot of spiritual rats. You may not have rats in your home, but I want to tell you something. The world is full of spiritual rats. And they will get in very small areas. It doesn't take a big area for a rat to get in where you're at. I think that if we would be honest with ourselves, that we would all acknowledge that we have all been disturbed by spiritual rats. You may have even been gnawed on by some. But I don't even want to be around rats. I want to do whatever I can to get rid of them. When we lived in out around the country, we had fields of wheat around us when we lived in Shawnee, and one of the issues we had was field mice. I don't care if it's a rat or a mouse, I don't want the thing in my house. And so I don't care what it's going to take. You put out traps, put out poison, but it disturbs my peace to get up in the middle of the night and never know if something's going to scurry across my foot. I don't want that. Well, spiritually, there's a scripture in Solomon's Song, 2nd chapter in the 15th verse, and you're going to say, well, that doesn't use the word rat, but it brings out a point. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want to consider not the foxes, but I want to talk about the spiritual rats. Those little things, those little varmints, rodents that spoil the vine. Little things, if we allow them in our life, can do a lot of damage. They can spoil a lot of the good things that you have stored up in life. If you don't close the gap, they can get in and they can destroy and they can kill eventually. You say a rat, it's just a little thing. You're a lot bigger than a rat. They're more scared of you than you are of him. I'm not so sure about that. I don't want to play with a rat. Now you can see people thinking it's that cute little furry thing. I don't want to play with one. And you can look at the benefit of rats from medical research and training, and you can teach them to do this. But when I look at a rat, that's not what I see. When I look at a rat, from my perspective, it's something that eats food that's needed for people. It's something that keeps me awake at night. It's something that can carry disease. I don't want anything to do with it. Spiritually, I wonder how many times we take in these little spiritual rats and say, I can train it. I can teach it. I can handle it, never remembering or realizing that that thing that you think you have control of can be your downfall. Spiritual rats. Little things. Do you have any spiritual rats in your life? You say, well, I don't have any. The rats are there. And I want to tell you what a few of them are. Unforgiveness is a spiritual rat. They get in small places and do a lot of damage. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Bitterness has a way of spreading and multiplying. Lust. Low self-esteem. That's a spiritual rat. We say, well, pride's wrong. Pride is a spiritual rat too. It'll get in areas and have detrimental effect to our life spiritually. But so will low self-esteem, because that's a form of self as well, is it not? You're talking about two extremes. They're both wrong. Pride gets a lot of our attention. But folks, when you're self-deprecating all the time and you just, well, I'm not worth anything and I'm no good, and that's just as bad, if not worse, than pride. It's a spiritual rat. Things that disturb your peace. Temptation. We all have temptation. You know, the devil is not our friend. You say, well, duh. Do you realize, though, that he is not, does not have your best interest at heart? And there are times I have gotten so tired of the devil. Not that I ever wasn't, but times it's like, just stop already. He won't leave you alone. He pesters. He just scurry, 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 scurry. It's like, let me rest. Spiritual wrath. Temptation. Weaknesses of the flesh, which we all have. Scripture talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you know my way can be a spiritual rat? My way. Just give your way a little bit. The self-life. Just a little bit. And it will have a way of destroying the peace that you have in so many areas in your life spiritually. Lack of love. It's a spiritual rat. Gossip. Loose talk. Spiritual wrath. Do a lot of damage, and it doesn't take a lot. The devil doesn't need a lot of room to get in and work in your personal life, in families, in congregations, and all of a sudden you look around and say, oh, there's a rat in the chapel scurrying around. What's the name of that rat? Lack of love, lack of mercy, lack of forginess, gossip. Do you know what we need to do with rats in our life, folks? Need to get rid of them. Don't entertain them. So, oh, he looks cute. Don't entertain them. In your personal life, in your family, in the congregation, get rid of the rats that are going to come. So what do we do? You know, when you don't do anything with rats, your life will become infested. One area, all it takes is two rats to make a family, right? But all it takes is one female rat having her babies to infest, and it doesn't take very long. I recall and I remember sharing this here, I believe, in the first message I ever preached in Springfield. But I remember in a home we bought in Guthrie, it was 120 years old maybe, and I remember that squirrels, do you all know what a squirrel is? It's a rat with a bushy tail. Now, I will acknowledge this. Squirrels are in a different family, okay? Scientifically, they're in a different family, but they're of the same order. And I used to think squirrels were little cute little things until they built a nest in my house. And then I just saw them as rats. And I looked, and they got in, and there was a hole in our eaves. And a couple of rats got in there, and they built a nest, and pretty soon we had more than two squirrels up there. Or rats, whatever you want to call them. They were squirrels. They began to eat the paint off of my freshly painted porch. They gnawed the paint off, and I just had these big grooves and marks where they'd eaten it off, and I thought, I just painted that. And they were up there, and I thought about all the things that these furry little creatures could bring up into my eaves. But do you realize that part of the fault was my own? Because I had a hole in my eaves and I hadn't fixed it. When you see places in your life spiritually that are open and you haven't fixed, just know the devil knows where your points of weaknesses are. And he's going to come in and he'll have a family, and pretty soon it's not just a little lack of love. You get a little lack of love for someone, you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon there's bitterness and there's unforgiveness. Pretty soon there's too much gossip. Too much gossip? There's gossip. Too much talk. And pretty soon you begin, your mind is just full of whenever this person's name comes up or whenever this comes up, your mind is just full with all of these things. Lack of peace. It sounds like a rat to me. So what are we going to do with it? So these squirrels, they got up and they expanded, had a family, and I took a multifaceted approach because I wanted to eradicate the squirrels. So I got up there with a stick and hoping they wouldn't jump out at me in this little hole, and
poor little Michael up there on the top of a ladder, and I put a stick in there and was pulling stuff out. And some of them came out, and I put out poison peanuts. And I fixed the hole. And before I fixed it, I wanted to be sure they were out. So I had poison peanuts, and I got my gun out, and I shot them through the up in the eaves. I put my gun up there, and I didn't want those things left. And a couple of them got out and got on the top of the tree. Probably the best shot I ever made, and killed the thing from the top of the tall tree there. But I didn't want those things coming back in my house. So I shot them, and then I closed up the hole. Not only was I going to kill them, I didn't want something else getting in the same place. Because, you know, about the time you think you got the rat killed, but you leave the hole, something else is going to get in. So I closed it up and didn't have a problem then. So solutions for spiritual rats in our life. What are we going to do with them? Number one is don't let them run free. Set the traps for them. Scripture over in 2 Corinthians 10. You know the passage of Scripture. Verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, cast it down, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have some spiritual rats in your life. What are you going to do with them? We need to bring them into captivity. Every thought that comes to your mind that is not good and pure and right and holy and full of love and forgiveness, don't let it alone. Don't let it percolate. Don't let it stay there. But eradicate it. Trap it. Bring it into captivity. Don't look and say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. You leave thoughts in your mind long enough, and it's going to get down in your heart. Little lack of love, now a little unforgiveness, now bitterness, now I'm spreading it to other people, now I can't sleep because I'm just consumed with this. You should have taken care of it when it was little. Bring it into captivity. Every thought. And I'm thankful that there is power with God to eradicate rats. You know those little trucks that drive around, exterminator service. I believe there are times spiritually we just need to come and allow the Lord to come in and do some exterminating of things in our life. But you have a lot to do with it. I have a lot to do with it. I have to say, Lord, I have a rat. Now, you may have thought you were just struggling with something. I want you to look in your life and see rats. And they're not cute. Carnality. Anger. Bitterness. Lust. They're rats. And if you don't take care of them, they will multiply until you are overrun. And the good things that you had stored up in your life, they're going to start eating away at those. Spiritual rats. Another key point spiritually is don't feed them. But put ye on, Romans 13 verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Want us to understand, the Scripture doesn't just say don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said don't make provision. In other words, don't feed it. Don't give it the opportunity. What you feed is where you go, what you listen to, what you watch, what you entertain in your mind. You may say, well, I'm not going to do something wrong. But you start filling your mind with that and voluntarily placing yourself in the way of temptation, you are going to fall. And then you say, where was God's grace? You open up the door. God's grace only works for us when we make the choices to do everything we know to do, and then God's grace will fill in the places where we're weak in the flesh. But if I have been saved from alcohol and I was a drunk, and the next day I get up and go in the bar and say, I'm not drinking, I'm just having a hamburger. And then I fall and end up taking a drink with one of my buddies, and I walk out saying, Lord, I'm so disappointed in myself. Why wasn't your grace strong enough? And the Lord said, you opened up the door. God's grace works when I'm not going back to the bar. I'm not going to go there, but I feel a pull to it, and I feel this draw to it. I haven't sinned. I'm just being tempted. Temptation is not sin. That's when I can say, Lord, I need some help here, because I'm feeling this real desire for this that's not right. That's where God's grace works. But you choose to open up the door. Something's going to happen. Don't feed the rats. Don't feed the spiritual rats. In other words, because when you leave garbage around, the rats are going to come. And you need to get rid of the garbage then. If you don't want rats, get rid of the garbage. I knew some folks that they had a junkyard or salvage yard. And they would put out the trash, the big barrel of trash. And at night before they would burn it, they would put it on its side and let the rats get in and put it up the next morning and light that thing on fire. Try to get rid of the garbage and the rats at the same time. Get rid of the garbage and you'll stop feeding. The rats won't be drawn to it. Have you ever noticed when there's a problem? You know where there's strife and confusion? Do you know what the Scripture says follows it? Every evil work. You may say, well, that's not true amongst the saints. Yes, it is. About every time you find a lot of carnality somewhere, you're going to find some evil work behind it. You're going to find it. It may not be obvious. It may not be in the surface. Folks, rats are attracted to garbage. And if you leave garbage, spiritual garbage, laying around, unresolved feelings and dispositions, unforgiveness, places that you haven't resolved things with God and gotten victory over some things in your life, the devil's going to come in. You want to live a holy life? Get rid of the garbage in your life. Is that not just common sense? People say, I'm struggling with this. What kind of music are you listening to? Well, of course you're struggling with it because you're feeding your mind with it. If you're not going to commit fornication, quit listening to songs that promote it. Get rid of the garbage. The rats will come. Leviticus 20 verse 7 says, sanctify yourselves. We say, well, I thought that was God's job to sanctify me. You've got something to do with it. Get rid of the garbage. Quit feeding it. And you will find you cut off the food source of the rats. They're going to go somewhere else. Cut off the food source. And you may say, but Brother Cook's doing it, so I should do it. No, he may not have a problem with it. It may be okay for him, but for me it seems like every time I do what Brother Cook's doing, the rats come. So then eradicate it out of my life. Get rid of it. If it's a spiritual problem, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter if all the other saints are going there. If it's a problem to you, don't go. Because if you go and you know it'll bring the rats, you have a responsibility to sanctify yourself. One of the things that was a help when the rats are there is to put the light on it. They don't like light. Didn't Jesus say something about that? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. You know, one of the things that will help eradicate the spiritual rats in our life is to put the light on it. Don't keep it covered up. You cover up the rats, they're going to multiply. Goes back to some of what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. You want victory over some things, sometimes you need to just put the light on it. You think, well, what's everybody going to think? Well, what are they going to think if you don't put the light on it? And the rats are going to multiply and multiply and multiply. Do you know where a lot of cockroaches come from? We started to have a little problem one time. They were coming from the neighbor's house. We were in an apartments type living. They weren't clean over there, and then we got cockroaches because they were leaving the garbage out. You don't take care of the rats in your life, parents, grandparents. You don't get victory over the rats in your life. Your children are going to suffer from it. They're going to spread and it'll come right in the congregation, and you should have taken care of it at home. You didn't get victory over it. You didn't put a trap out. You didn't put the light on it. And now it has spread and everybody's suffering because of it. Put the light on it. There's power in truth this morning. There's power in truth. It's liberating. It liberates in things that go on undercover and things that fester beneath the surface in families and congregations and in your personal life. Folks, put the light of truth on it. Acknowledge it, and when the light comes, what happens to the rat? They run. I want the light. I want this congregation to be a place the light can be on. You say, Brother Michael, you shouldn't talk about that because, you know, there are some situations that's pretty sensitive. You keep it undercover, the rats will come. History has proven that. Put the light on it. Don't excuse sin. Don't excuse sin in your life, in your family's lives, in the congregation. You cover it up, and it's going to propagate that thinking among our children. I don't want my children growing up thinking, well, it's okay and we excuse this. No, I want them to know it's wrong. It might hurt my feelings. The Lord has victory over your feelings this morning. It can be a rat to you. Lord, give me the understanding heart. Lord, give me a heart of wisdom and understanding. That doesn't mean you just disclose everything. You understand there's a balance there. But if we're not careful, we're going to give room for the rats to propagate and spread disease. If we would just open up before the Lord and let the light shine on it, there's victory in there. Man told me one time, I may have shared this, he told me one time, I was talking to him on the phone, had been working with him, counseling with him, a lot of spiritual needs. And he told me, he said, I didn't want my wife to know. Why does she have to know everything I'm doing? I said, okay, so what types of things are you talking about? He said, I went to Walmart last night. And why should she not, she doesn't need to know what I was doing. A red flag went off in my mind, went a red light. It's like, why do you care whether your wife knows you went to Walmart or not? Well, the reason he was going to Walmart, I won't get into it. But he shouldn't have been going to Walmart. Why was he trying to hide something that was innocuous as going to the store? It was because his motivations and his purposes were wrong. That's why he didn't want his wife to know. Things that you want to keep hidden in your life, you need to start looking for rats. Why do I want that hidden? Why do I want that to be covered up? Justin gave an example a while back of holes in their pop-up camper. Said one of the ways to find those holes was to go out at night and put the light on in the camper, and you could see the places where there are holes. You know what we need to do? Put the light on, and we need to plug up the holes. The places the rats are getting in, where is the enemy working? You know they say prevention is the best cure. Why wait? Why wait till this disease-ridden varmint comes in to spread and work its work? Why wait for that to happen? Examine our life and see, are there gaps? Where are the weaknesses? And again, we all have weaknesses in our life, but watch the lawful things. The Scripture says that all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. So be careful again about just this argument of, well, is it sin or is it not sin? Can I do it and still go to heaven? Maybe so, but you're leaving a hole that the enemy can get in. You're leaving a gap. Close the gap. And the Scripture also says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with what? With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So my comment to you this morning on that is, zip it up! You've got a suitcase of chocolate. You've got a suitcase with your clothes in it. You want holy clothes? I'm not talking about the good holy either. You want clothes that have been gnawed on? You want your store, your food to be eaten on? To know, I went in and looked at some of the corn that the children eat, and probably it was full of bugs, and they weren't maggots, but there was just bugs all through the corn. I thought, oh my, I think I've eaten some of that. I didn't know what it all was at the time. But you know what? Take care of the problem. Zip it up. Keep it up tight. And so the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep the rats out. Don't give an inroad to the enemy. If you recognize you're battling, that's okay. We all have battles. Don't give in to it. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to put a trap. I want a poisonous thing. I want to zip up and protect the purity and the godliness. Young people, protect your purity. Don't open up the door to it. You start flirting. You know what flirting is? I do it if I'd act like I'll do it, but I won't. What message are you sending? Don't play with the devil. Don't play games with your purity, young people, children. Purpose to keep yourself pure. Run from the things that you would look at and listen to and hear, the things that would violate that purity. Keep yourself, keep your heart with all diligence. One of the areas that the rats came in when this last couple weeks ago, it was because the walls don't go all the way up to the ceiling. They don't go all the way up to the roof. And so there's a gap. We're going to be done shortly here. There was a gap. Do you know what the answer was? Extend the walls. Spiritual walls and fences. We say, oh, why these walls and standards? And you want to know why there are standards this morning? It is not to keep you from having fun. It is not to keep you from enjoying life. Standards are meant, and the purpose is to keep the enemy from getting in. So if the enemy's been getting in, raise a standard. If the enemy's coming around and you know he's there, raise the wall. Lift up a standard of holiness, and I believe this covers a lot of areas of personal responsibility in your life. You don't need the preacher to come home with an itemized list. You know where the rats are getting in. Take care of it this morning. You know where the enemy is at work. Then extend the walls. Raise the walls that you can stay holy and enjoy the blessings of God. I would like to close with a couple other thoughts here. A defensive war. I remember reading this as a young person. I was actually at Monarch when I read it, and it stuck with me for the last 30 years. A defensive war will only end in inevitable defeat. Defensive war. Always fighting the devil. Always fighting the rats. Always. There is an answer. Lay the traps. Put the light on it. Close up the gaps. Raise the walls. All of those things. But I want to tell you something else. There was a pilot who was, and I remember Brother Austin telling this story. He said a pilot was flying a small plane. And he said he was flying, and all of a sudden he heard a gnawing. And he realized that there was a rat with him on the plane. And he knew that it was very possible that that rat was gnawing on vital equipment for that plane to function properly. And his first thought was, I'll turn around and go back to the field. But then he remembered something. He remembered, and I did not investigate this point, but I know it applies to a point, said that he remembered that rodents cannot live at high elevations. And so, instead of turning around and going backward, he nosed up. He climbed higher and higher and higher. And when he leveled off, he listened. The gnawing wasn't there anymore. To me, that is one of the best things that we can do spiritually this morning. We can battle unforgiveness, lack of love. You might battle lust. You might battle pride. You might battle low self-esteem. You might battle this and battle that. Do what you need to do. Close the gaps. Put the light on it. Raise the walls. But the greatest thing we can do is to head higher in our relationship with God. Get close to God. Get full, Lord, I want to be more full of your love. And as the fuller I am of God's love and holiness, the less room there is for a spiritual rat to get in and take up his abode. So if you hear the gnawing this morning, be practical and do the things I've shared with you this morning. But the greatest is, nose your plane up and say, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more in your presence. Scripture says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things. Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to have more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want to increase in the virtues of Christ. I want there to be less room for the self life. So what's the answer? Everything we've talked about this morning. But the greatest, I believe, this morning is I want to get higher. I want to get higher. And the higher I go, it starts killing out those rats that have gotten on board with us because we're closer to the Lord.